Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-pated fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden and T. Quiller, your hosts for the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 183 of...
The Inexplicable Dumb Show.
The SETC kickoff.
Part one.
Part one.
We've just gotten done with all of our interviews.
Yeah.
We're back in the hotel room. Hotel rooms.
Right.
Yeah, because we'll talk about that. But anyway, we're here recording on our handheld recorder here, and we apologize for the production quality. But we're going to kick things off with our good friend Gary Garrison.
Yep.
And a new friend, I guess I should say, Dale Savage, who's got some interesting stuff going on that hits kind of close to home to me.
Right.
So we'll start with that, and then we'll close it out.
All right.
Want to stay current with the Inexplicable Dumb Show?
It's quick and it's easy and it's free.
Click the subscribe button at inexplicabledumbshow.com
and you'll never have to miss an episode.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet. Yet I ask you to take time
to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play,
don't
in, the
all
gutter,
play
of course,
in the gutter, of course. Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater!
Hey, we have Gary Garrison with us here, team.
Gary, how are you?
Easing into the recliner there with the cup holder.
I just want to say, I think we're developing a relationship I'd like to talk about at some point. this is what, my third year now?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you're what we call a regular guest.
That's right. Do they know about these chairs we're sitting in?
No.
Okay, so they're collapsible, fold up. It's what you see at Kmart that you think nobody in their right mind would ever, ever buy one of these. And somehow they have found their way here with an automatic cup holder.
Oh, yeah.
Those two are actually technically marketing tools by the Tennessee Shakespeare Festival.
Yes.
So on the back it says Tennessee Shakespeare.
Oh, right. Oh, God, love them.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
So there
the outdoor
go.
Theater thing. So that this is actually the chairs that they have. They just line a bunch of these up, and you can buy your own, or they've got the ones that you can just walk in and sit. It's actually really kind of cool. I've got two at home that have a built-in ottoman that folds out, and you can kick your feet up.
So we're going to bring those to Atlanta.
Yeah, those are the ones that are
fantastic.
Atlanta.
Fantastic.
No, for a last-minute thought, I was like, you know, we've been really lucky for the past, like, 3 years of finding places where we can go in, and there's a table and a couple chairs to sit in. I was like, you know, sooner or later, we're going to run into a spot where there's not any place to sit.
Right.
And I thought, hey, if we got room in the box, I'm going to throw them in there real quick.
Sure.
And sure enough, this was the year that we had to have them. So
see?
I threw them in literally the morning that we left. Which
you were
was
prepared.
Yesterday morning. I was.
Yeah.
Good. How are things going, boys?
Good.
Yeah.
We got in here late afternoon yesterday and kind of set up. And we farther in the room last night. And, of course, over there, I'm pointing like, you know, the people that listen to this can see this.
Right.
But off to my right, is the dance callback room. And so we're talking to people and... you know, all these dancer types are sort of filing in, and then they kind of go into the room, and they'd learn their, the choreography, and then they'd come back out, and they'd rehearse and practice, and you'd have a little group over here and a little group over here, you know, across the room, and then suddenly what were three or four independent groups merged into one massive amount of humanity of about 200 people doing the same choreography
behind our guest's head.
And it was fame.
It was fame. It looked like Thriller to me. That's what it looked like to me.
I was literally concerned that our guest is, because I mean, not 6 inches behind the chair.
Right on.
Legs are flinging, and I'm just, trying to not alarm the person, but kind of twitch every once in a while. You know, like,
watch out. John developed an ulcer last night from the interview.
I was nervous. I got to tell you, I was seeing lawsuits. And
yeah, I know. It's bad.
Well, actually, I was worried about the microphone. I
got to be more like that. Yeah, come on.
We don't really care about the person in the chair.
Yeah.
They can go to a hospital.
Bruises.
The equipment. Come on.
No, these are not insured. What are you up to? I mean, I know you're doing
I have some important things I want to talk to you guys about.
All right.
Did you come prepared with, like, topics and stuff?
Of course I did.
Wow.
He's getting out his PowerPoint.
I have a list, a long list.
You're not going to use a couple?
Come on, we brought the couple.
Yeah,
here.
Right? Let's put the... Okay. So I want to talk to you guys about... I'm here actually to talk about the Dramatists Bill of Rights. I mean, I'm here at SETC to talk about the Dramatists Bill of Rights. Did you know there were such a thing?
I did not.
Okay, do you know that playwrights have rights?
No, well,
well, I know they always complain about having rights.
Tell us,
one might assume they do. But how often are they actually, you know, it's that thing. How often are they actually, do you even know what they are?
No.
Nobody does.
Right.
So that was kind of what yesterday was about. Yesterday was about, you know, meeting a group of people in this, you know, big conference room and saying, you do know that you have certain rights, don't you? And they all looked at me like you guys did, which is, really?
I'm more curious about what they are.
I didn't know. Well, so let's talk about them.
Sure.
All right.
Let's start with the big one, because that's always the best one.
Okay.
Because it always gets everybody really angry. can we say pissed off?
Oh, sure. Okay. Absolutely.
So, you know, it gets people really pissed off. Because, of course, they've all violated it at one time or another.
Right.
Which is this. You under no circumstance, can you change a single word in a script? You cannot. Not the stage directions, not the words, not the dialogue, not the character name, not the character gender.
Right. Oh, really? Even that much?
No.
Really?
Okay. Not the title, not the open, nothing without the written permission of the playwright. Now... Right. You know, where this gets a little messed up is colleges and universities and community theaters, as you can appreciate.
Right.
Right.
You know, because everyone is, well, we don't have five women to do this play. Well,
don't do the play.
You can't do the play.
Right.
It's kind of simple, though.
What a concept.
Well, does it really matter if it's a pizza boy or a pizza girl? Well, what's written? Pizza boy. I would think that writer was thinking that through.
Yeah.
Right. Pizza person.
Right.
Pizza person, right.
But, you know, look, and all, nobody gets crazy about this stuff.
Sure.
But, you know, if it's, you know, whether you cross left or cross right, you know, this is the old argument that comes up. You know, I go through and you hear directors say all the time, I go through and I just cross out all the stage directions. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of wrote those.
Right.
Now, did I write stage left and stage right? Probably not. That's probably some stage manager that was attached to it at some point.
Right.
But if I write, he crosses the carpet, picks up the gun, and, you know, fires it once into the... You got to do that. You can't just cut that.
Right.
Right.
You can't cut it because you don't have a starter pistol in your
or
theater.
A carpet.
Right. Or better yet, or a theater.
Or a theater.
You just kind of can't, right?
Right.
So you know, the old argument was, you know, we can't find the playwright to talk about them. Well, that's just, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hockey. Nowadays, especially.
Of course, hockey. You can find anybody you want to.
Yeah.
And you can always get in hold of me at the Guild. And, I'll put you in touch with them.
Right.
So it's actually intended to begin a conversation.
Sure.
Which is, you know, we don't have five women. And is it really, does it have to be five women? I intended it to be five women, but look, there is that role that if we think, you know,
it
can engage. It becomes a discussion as opposed to me showing up at your theater and, you know, I'm going to go see my play and, oh, really? I never thought of that person as African American, but that's an interesting choice.
Right,
and do you realize that it now puts this layer on top of the story?
Right.
And that's an interesting layer. I don't know that I thought about it. And it may or may not work. You know, it's just all that stuff.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's because Shakespeare is, you know, he was an okay playwright.
Well, if it was just him, I mean, it could have been four or five of the three, you know, I mean.
Really wasn't him anyway.
But, you know,
Shakespeare was a cloak operation. I don't know if you know that, Gary.
Totally.
But, you know, I mean, where this all starts is that everybody takes Shakespeare and, you know, we put it in a carnival and we put Hamlet in the ocean and we put it before World War One and after World War Two and let's dress them up in tuxedos and it's a bowling alley. Let's put it in a bowling alley because, you know, it is the, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yes.
Right.
So people have learned this actually on Shakespeare.
It makes sense.
That they can, you know, do manipulate whatever. The work and sure. do whatever, and it's cool because, look, he's
it's hard to get in touch with him.
Right, and yeah. he is the greatest dramatist of all time, and so, you know, who is Gary Garrison to say? You can't really, it's got, the carpet's got to be down on the floor.
Right. It's got to be red carpet.
Right, yeah. Right, so that's one thing that we just got to get past all this, you guys, right. which is it is not okay to right. change gender. It's not okay to change a line. And, you know, actors, I love actors. I'm all about the actors and the dancers with their leg warmers.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And we love some leg warmers. Yeah. And some love spandex that and
died.
Nylon. Right?
Yeah, died,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
What's that stuff, the Spanx? What is that new material?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Spanx.
Yeah, it's supposed to...
It's basically like...
Are you wearing one right now?
No, well, no. I'm sorry.
He is,
two of them, actually.
We can't talk about it out loud. Sure. You okay?
I'm dripping all over
He's
myself.
He's got a hole in his lip. We got a napkin runner or something.
I threw him away.
You know, I love actors, so it's, you know, but, and I started off as an actor, could you tell? So it's, you know, in rehearsal, of course, we improvise sometimes and we add to, and that's where it starts getting dangerous because yeah, mm-hmm. you lock it down into memory, and if you don't right, have a director right, who's on right. top of it, yeah. all of a sudden the F word is like being thrown left and right and left right. and right and added right. to, and, you know,
which, you know, in normal conversation, it feels, well, it is. I mean, it does feel that way when you're talking to somebody, and it does happen that way. You know, it is sort of random, and it just sort of starts to get thrown in there, and you know, thrown in there. But that's sort of the actor's job, is to take what's written and make it feel that way.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. You know, when I write, you know, because I often write Southern people, for example, because mm-hmm. I grew up in Texas. Mm-hmm. So there's a cadence to that. Like, you know, there's
right,
a cadence
definitely.
And a rhythm, and, yeah. And not to get highfalutin about it, but there I write with a certain rhythm in mind.
Sure,
so
right.
you throw the F-bomb in there on top of one of my characters, or you just change the grammar of it, mm-hmm. or and
right.
you're actually changing who the person is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
because we
yeah,
all...
In a lot of ways, yeah.
Yeah, we all speak with very individualized forms of
yeah.
of language.
Yeah.
So... Any questions, boys?
Not at all. Thank you, sir, for coming. May I have another?
I just want to yeah. make sure. Yes, you may.
Yeah, no. That's a point that I mean, in my preach classes even, I talk about this very stuff, you yeah. know, that we've all been in those situations where we've all had a director or a producer or, you know, a group leader or somebody say, well, we can't really, you know, I can't say that, or I don't like that intent. I don't, mm-hmm. you know, we've all, if you've done theater in community or in a church play or in, mm-hmm. that stuff does yeah. happen. And, you know, I just say, in that, I slowly get people going, uh-huh, yeah, I've done
right.
that.
Yeah,
and then I say,
done that.
But you can't do that.
Right, right, right.
You know?
Well, you know, I mean, I think, I don't think anybody goes into this in a bad kind of...
Maliciously,
right.
Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But you know, directors and artistic directors, they feel the pressure of getting their plays in under 2 hours because mm-hmm. you know the theater's downtown and it's in a bad section of town, and we got to get people out right. by 10:30.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
for the drug lords and the gun runners
sure,
coming
right,
out.
Right,
exactly.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, what should be a 2-hour and 20-minute play is now 2 hours because we got to get them out. So that director takes to hacking the script back.
Right.
Right.
You know,
right.
You can't do that.
Right.
You know, either you do that play 2 hours and 20 minutes, or you don't do it, and you know.
Right.
Or you engage in a conversation with a writer about how can we trim this down?
Well,
let me ask
Let me ask you this question. What's the best way, I mean, other than just, you know, starting the dialogue of saying, hey, here's the problem that we're having or here's the issue that we're having.
Right.
What's the best way to approach that from, as a playwright, if I were a director coming to you saying, I've got, this is kind of problematic, what's the best way to open that conversation as from the director's standpoint or from the actor's standpoint?
Well, in any script that's not formed and is still mm-hmm. finding its way through and trying to find its definition, you know, there is a lot of repetition. There's oftentimes there can mm-hmm. be repetition. There can be, well, repetition. There
right.
can be development. You know, a writer can go off on a tangent left or right mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. doesn't really advance the dramatic storyline or the plot or whatever
sure.
it happens to be. So maybe that's a conversation to begin having. Look, you know, this feels repetitive. Just let me understand. Am I missing something or is this... It feels like we're back on the same thing, right?
Right,
and
right.
and if we kind of took this section out, we'd gain 5 minutes or
right,
minutes or whatever right. it happens to be. But you know, I would feel more comfortable if that conversation happened with the writer in the room as
right.
opposed to
email
across an email.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Or even the phone, I think probably is
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Here's another big one. I think you guys will appreciate this.
Okay.
This often happens in colleges and universities, and I teach at NYU, so that's a disclaimer. So just so you know, I'm very familiar with this. You know, I get a lot of email at the Guild that basically says, you know, my director won't let me in the room. Really?
Yeah. Really? Well, really?
Yeah. You'd be surprised how often this happens.
That does surprise me, actually.
You know, we'd like to rehearse without the playwright in the room because it makes the actors nervous.
Okay.
Well,
let's rehearse without the audience, too. Let's do the show without the audience, because we got this one guy that gets really nervous when there's people in the house, too.
Right, yeah, and look, you know what? Playwrights are not completely off the blame on this, because, playwrights are in the room. They get nervous themselves.
Sure.
They're sitting there in a knot. They look like, you know what they look like. They look a little frantic. Mm-hmm, time's running out. Curtain's going up soon.
Right.
So, actors are sensitive, of course.
Sure.
That's why they're actors. And they sense that kind of negative, nervous energy over in the room. So what you do is you enter into a conversation. You know, if you have a good director, your director says, "Hey, look, Gary, you know what? You're a little anxious, and it's it kind of looks bad on you."
Right?
And
smile.
And you're scaring people. Right? So, maybe you should figure out a way into this so that it's a more pleasant experience for you. Mm-hmm. Or, during this kind of tender time when we're trying to piece the play together, might you think about not coming to rehearsal for a couple of days or whatever? Mm-hmm. There's a way to have that conversation.
Right. Rather than just don't come in.
Or oftentimes you'll hear somebody will say from a university, it's our policy that we don't let the playwright in the room during the first 2 weeks of rehearsal.
Really? Wow.
So here's the bottom line. If your work is being performed somewhere, you have the right to be in the room in rehearsal. Period. End of story.
There you
boom,
go.
Boom. Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. That's a very foreign concept to me, because it seems to me like, because I do a lot of Shakespeare, and that's the one thing I would crave is to be able to go, "God, what did you mean?"
Right.
It's the person who's it's the ultimate encyclopedia, you know?
Well, as I've always said to my students, you are the God of the world that you created.
Right. Yeah.
So you got God in the room.
Right.
Yeah.
When does that ever happen?
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
So you can ask the creator.
Yeah.
Right? What's going on?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. That's a great thing.
I mean, when I've worked on original scripts, I've been fortunate, I guess, that we've had that kind of, working relationship with a playwright to say, okay, this is, all right. What did you mean?
What did you mean?
And it wasn't quite as the I did have one who wanted to did his best Hemingway drink and
nice.
Kind of deal that
nice.
Was all a little right. stressful, but but I mean, otherwise it's been a pretty good rewarding experience
for
working original text and
sure.
stuff. So
have you written these down as a Bill of Rights?
No,
have
they been ratified?
No. You can go to the Guild website. This is
1787.
Okay.
You can go to the Guild website. It's all on there.
Excellent.
There are many, many more. There's just one more big one that we'll talk about, and then we can talk
Absolutely.
About
go for it.
Leg warmers.
it's burning a hole in my mind, I'm going to tell you.
Plays don't write themselves. So where you see the name of a play, you must see the name of the playwright.
Right.
And that functions on a couple of levels. Look, Tony Kushner doesn't need his name beside Angels in America, but nonetheless, Tony Kushner's name is synonymous with Angels in America.
Sure.
When you're young and you're out of the starting gate, you need to, forgive me for saying this, you need to brand yourself. You need to have that association made so that the name of your play has the name of you right beside it. So anytime that the name of the play appears, whether it's on a billboard or a program or a marquee outside the theater, you gotta have the playwright's name.
Yeah,
right.
People need to start putting those two things together.
Right.
And so when you see these, oftentimes I go out and about here, for example, and you see these big marquees with all the names of the plays and no playwrights.
No playwrights.
Wrote themselves.
Yeah. Self-generating plays.
Right.
This will be an interesting topic of conversation when we go to Humana in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Because we will be interviewing the playwrights. Yeah, we'll be interviewing
so
the playwrights.
Am I.
Are you?
Yeah.
What weekend are you going? Are you going to the special visitors?
I'm always
weekend?
Confused about that. Is it the one where the bread makers are going, or is it the one where the car repair people are going?
Yeah, that's where we're going to.
I think we're going with the Masons.
Masons, that's right. Yeah,
the Masons and Shriners,
and we got the little motorcycles ready to go.
Right. To answer your question, I don't know. I don't know which weekend I'm going. I just know it's one of
do you know the
dates. I'm
don't
sure
have a clue?
I do somewhere.
Okay, well. Hopefully we're there the same weekend.
Yeah.
Hopefully we are. And but that's what we do, is we're going to go and we go and watch all the shows, special visitors weekend, and then we sit down on Sunday morning, and we are part of the rotation of the playwrights
the
making
junkets
the,
and that
yeah, the junket.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. We've done it for the past couple of years.
Oh, and, fantastic.
And we, we get the same time. So, yeah, I think the Playwrights Bill of Rights, I think we need to talk about when we're in there. You know, it's like, well, make sure you know this. We'll advocate for you.
Thank you. But you know, it's right. That's
a shirt just, made with them on
yeah.
that. That just seems like common sense to
no,
me.
It does.
That it, you but, know, yeah. that if you write a play, that your name is beside it.
Yeah, or, it does make
or
sense.
I can't tell you how many phone calls I get in my office saying, you know, I showed up at a theater in Denver last night, and there's a program, and everybody's got a bio in the program but me.
Yeah.
Mm. Right, come on. You know, it's not about the playwright being more important. It's about the playwright being as important.
Yeah.
It's really that simple.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't imagine doing that.
I can't either. That's so foreign to me.
Oh, it happens all the time.
I bet.
Right.
I'm not shocked that it happened, but I just can't imagine that. Why a producing company would want to do that.
Or a playwright walks in the room and says, you know, I came to rehearsal. These are the kind of phone calls I get. I came to rehearsal last night, and the playwright has been saying, I mean, the director has been saying to me, you know, that last moment of the play hasn't been working. So I reworked it for you, and I just want to show it to you, and you can decide what you want to do.
Yikes.
Yeah, that doesn't quite work.
No, that's
either.
Just, that's offensive.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like going up to an artist and going, yeah, this last little section of your canvas wasn't really.
So I put some blue on it.
So I just took a big slab of blue and smeared it with my fingers.
Too much mauve on here. Yeah. We need a little more color.
I just cut it out.
Right. I put some cheese on it because I thought that'd be interesting.
Right. It's so offensive.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, let's see. You get these calls at the guild.
Right.
What's your course of action then?
Turns into Rambo.
You know, sometimes, to be really honest.
The headband and the explosive arrow tips and everything.
Yeah, the whole 9 yards.
Lobbing at Gordon. You know, sometimes, I just want to say in all fairness, to represent this discussion fairly, sometimes the playwright's out of their mind.
Right.
Right? You know what I mean? Right. So sometimes the playwright is just crazy. Mm-hmm. Right? So the first thing you just have to assess is, kind of
don't believe him.
All right, thank you,
Paul Crook,
ladies and gentlemen.
We've got to come back. You got to come back and talk to us.
I will at some point. But
okay.
Right now, I got to go find Mary Fran.
Is she here?
Yeah.
Awesome. We'll bring her back too then.
Okay.
Cool.
See you later, Paul.
Our curmudgeon. He's a regular on the show.
Oh, is he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we love him.
Paul.
We've just been drive by.
We were curmudgeon.
Casted,
we
had a
what were we talking
walk
about?
By shutout. crazy playwrights. I think it's
crazy
kind of,
playwrights.
Yeah, I mean,
okay,
so
yes,
you make an assessment whether you know kind of where the truth or as much as you can about the truth or something that's really obvious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my play was being produced and they offered me a royalty of $200 and that was in January of 2005. Do I have any recourse? Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You kind of do. Oh, but the theater's no longer in business. Well, no.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah. So there are those kind of calls.
Yeah.
Look, I don't think this is going back to what we said earlier. I don't think anybody's malicious or.
Sure.
There are very few people out there that take true. Well, I shouldn't say that, but. You know, I think everybody goes into this with their very best hearts and souls attached, but you know, there are tough economic times and. Then there are just crazy people.
Yes.
Right. So we have to account for those.
Yes,
and sometimes, despite people's best intentions, people's names don't show up in places or their bios don't show up or they changed the second act in a fairly significant way.
Or cut it. We just cut the second act out.
You know, one of my favorite stories is that Sondheim showed up at, oh God, I'm going to probably forget this. Forgive me if I'm quoting this wrong, but I believe Sondheim showed up at a production of Passion in London, and the director thought it would be really interesting to put a ballet before it, the Passion Ballet.
Mm.
So there was a bit of a ballet before the musical started.
With what music? Just like the overture?
You know, I don't know that part of the story, but isn't that just fascinating?
Yeah.
Right?
That's interesting. I saw a production, this is in Dallas, I saw a production of Romeo and Juliet where at the end of Act 1, a la Oklahoma, they did a dream ballet sequence. They had done this entire Romeo and Juliet Civil War North versus South thing going on.
Right.
And then there's this really bad dream ballet sequence that they did. It just kind of went, out of nowhere. How, you know,
right.
Yeah,
yes. Well, we love a good dream ballet.
Good dream,
well,
a good dream ballet.
Have it. You gotta have it. You know. Is it a? Was it a recap?
Is that the other right? You have the right to write a dream ballet in your play if you'd like.
If it's not working, write a dream ballet.
Right, and when in doubt, dream ballet. Got it. Okay.
Was it a recap dream ballet or a forecasting dream ballet?
It was one of those.
What happens in Act Two?
It was exactly like the Oklahoma one, where it's sort of that negative foreshadowing of the things that could possibly go wrong. Right. You know, and you know, Judd takes Laurie away and all of that kind of stuff. You know, that type of thing. It was exactly
Judd
type of
comes
thing.
Through and clubs Romeo.
Which I guess
in
Romeo and Juliet would mean that they both lived.
Right.
That would be the anti-ending. I guess. I don't. That's
that would be depressing.
Yeah. Huh. Oh well.
Okay.
So let's talk leg warmers.
Okay. what else you want to talk about? I'm single now.
I have to. Are you really?
Yeah. Yeah. Look, you know, I'm. Let's be honest, right? I'm a deal.
It's a real,
come on.
Here we're playing matchmaker now.
Right, please, would you?
You want to put your email out there?
Right, would you please?
Phone number?
Which
we'll
email?
Link to it on the website.
The good one or the good one?
The 900. The 900.
The good one. Right.
So what else would you want to talk about?
Well, I have to brag on my buddy John here.
Please do.
John, we have to leave early tomorrow.
Yeah. Right?
Because John has to get back for the People's Branch Theater's 10-minute play festival. He has a 10-minute play that he has written.
Fantastic.
And it is actually 10 minutes.
Fantastic.
I wrote it and I thought, I got to have Gary Garrison's rule.
Better be 10 minutes.
Great. Are we taking
arm off?
Yeah. There's a whole lot of pressure there, but
machetes across America.
Yeah.
So he's got a stage reading tomorrow.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I put you on the spot and ask you what it's about?
Sure. It's two guys meet at a bus stop and gets into a discussion of how they met and why they met and were they the odds, and well, one of them lives through it, one of them doesn't. And
oh, right.
It's entitled Random, and it's just completely about, well, what I hope it ends up being about is that the odd chance. There's life is
is that
no guarantees and it's interesting. I want to see what they do with it, because my character, you talking about, you know, changing character types and stuff. I had a character description, any ethnicity, doesn't matter. And I just want to see how they cast it, because that might change my mind.
Sure.
You know, because I want it to be about a random odd choice to kill somebody, as opposed to, well, let's put a black guy and a white guy and make it about racism, which it wasn't about at all.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So that's going to be interesting to see how they tackle that.
You bet.
And you know, and I might say, okay, you forced my hand. I got to make a specific note. No,
right.
You
right.
know, any ethnicity, as long as it's the same ethnicity or whatever. You know, so that'll be kind of fun. And it kind of got spurred on. I was watching. Oddly enough, Criminal Minds episode.
Well, of course,
right.
that's
what we do on
Absolutely.
Saturday night.
Yeah,
right.
and there
and
was
Sunday.
All,
that's what you do when you write plays. You watch Criminal Minds and then you write a play.
Yeah, and you know, it was great for like 20 minutes. There were these just, you know, they kind of killed somebody at a subway stop or an ATM, and it was these gang of guys that wore the same clothes, and you know, had no idea what was going on. And I like that aspect of, we don't always know, we don't have an answer of why violence happens.
Sure.
It just does. And I like that. And then it kind of, well, then it went into, you know, Hollywood land and became, well, it's about terrorists trying to blow up a hospital where the you know, the president or somebody is having a surgery or something. And I thought, well, I'm gonna take that idea and explore of just absolute no obvious reasons.
Is it
just to see an audience,
sure,
make them deal with that.
Is it a drama?
Yes.
Is it a comic drama or just a drama?
I tried to get it comic drama. I mean, so that it, you know, I don't want it to be a somber 10 minutes.
Right.
and I want the death happens violently right at the end, because I want it to be that jarring, like, holy shit.
Of course.
What was that? Why?
Yeah, sure.
So that's the reaction that the audience, so they have to make up a decision of, you know, trying to wrap logic around an illogical act.
Absolutely.
And just to expand.
And that's how they, that's what they leave with.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So
I had that somber 10 minutes this morning. You know how hotels always have the mirrors in the bathrooms on
yeah.
the toilet?
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Really odd.
And you like, you get up in the bath, you know, like you yeah. get up in the middle and you're like, you don't have any clothes on. You're like, oh, oh. my God, really? Do so I
that,
really want to see that
you
fresh
did that for
out of
10
bed?
Minutes?
Well, no. Wait,
okay. He went through
did
the five stages. It's a five
okay, you
stages.
Caught me.
Okay. Five stages of acceptance.
I kept going back.
Right, yes.
I kept wanting it to be better.
It
than
was
it
10
was.
Minutes, but it wasn't 10 minutes in a row. It
right.
was 10 minutes. It was like, you know, 2 minutes here
exactly.
and 30 seconds.
Yeah. Right.
So you start the day, ooh, really?
Oh.
No.
And then you end your 10 minutes with, ooh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Right. You got to catch your psychology back up.
Now, have you talked to your director, John?
I don't know. No.
Okay. So, here, do you want to? Have I ever told you my story? No, of course I haven't. So, we don't even know each other, Brian.
No, of course not.
Okay, so I teach a summer playwriting course at the Kennedy Center in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are people all over the country that mm-hmm. come in for 2 weeks to do this playwriting course. I don't know if you know anything about the ecosystem of D.C., but it is so crazy in the summer because it's a basin, basically,
right.
a geographical
right.
basin.
Right.
So, you know, the weather can change in 5 minutes and often does.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that this particular summer, every time I would step out of the building, as God is my witness, it would cloud over, a torrential rain would come down, probably lightning, you know,
right.
the apocalypse,
right.
basically, is
sure.
what was happening. So it turns out that the students in this class said to me, please don't, we want to go smoke, don't go outside. Right? Just, you know, we only have 10 minutes for a break, and every time you go
right.
outside, it like, the skies
raining.
Open up.
That's awesome.
So this went on, I'm not joking you, for like 2 weeks. This kind of crazy weather.
Wow.
It happened enough that people were going, really, Gary, there's something odd about this, right? So then after the, I'll make this short, after this intensive, I was going to Provincetown for vacation, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where they have nothing but clear blue skies pretty much all summer long. I show up, they've had 10 days of just bright blue skies. It pours for 11 days.
You're
oh my
kidding.
God.
No. Is that how long you were there?
That's how long, exactly how long I was there. And everybody was saying, please go.
Just go.
Because I told the story about the Kennedy Center. They
right.
were like, come on, just go. As God is my witness,
wow.
I drive out of Provincetown. Somebody calls me from back there and says, you will never believe this. The sun's coming out.
Wow.
I drive back to New York, which is 5 hours.
Sure.
The rain follows me all the way back
wow.
to New York.
Wow.
Right. So anyway, I just kind of went off and thought about, what would happen if somebody just attracted bad weather wherever they went?
Uh-huh.
So I wrote this short 10-minute play. And the short 10-minute play, which was a finalist at Louisville,
uh-huh.
this year, is essentially about a man who's been struck by lightning twice
uh-huh.
and attracts bad weather everywhere he goes.
I love that.
And the day of the play is his daughter's outdoor wedding.
Oh, God.
And she's
oh,
come
no.
out to say,
stay in the house.
Please go away.
Yeah.
Don't come to my wedding.
Wow.
Wow.
Right? So,
yeah.
Now, I think of it as a comic drama,
mm-hmm,
uh-huh.
but without a conversation with a director, you could also make that a highball comedy.
Oh, totally.
Right,
right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So it's really important, John, you have that conversation with that director.
Yeah.
Is really
yeah.
what I'm saying. Because I showed up to it. It was done at the Boston Theater Marathon, and I showed up to it, and somebody took a pass by it, and it was... You know, more comic than
it was more
else.
Comic than yeah
yeah
because
yeah.
It's interesting because I mean we had this wonderful story about you and the you know and we laughed about you and the rain and everything and all that stuff, but when you told me that story the immediate thing I'm thinking is, okay, well, dude, this guy's already been struck by lightning twice,
right,
and now here he is on the day of his daughter's wedding. Yeah, that immediately went to bittersweet to me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
you think, yeah, wouldn't you?
I'm also...
Direct my play, would you?
Sure, absolutely. Come on. Just send me a script and we'll talk, you know?
I'll give you the rewrites and...
Absolutely. yeah. Send me the script. I'll rewrite it for you and then we'll direct it.
Just
yeah.
rewrite it.
But
we'll take
I'm
the
not
whole lightning
come
out.
Into the rehearsal, though, if that's all right.
Yeah, right. Is the lightning really important?
Yeah, no.
No, that's
no.
okay. Just
we don't
that.
Need a wedding. Let's make it a funeral. I think that
we'll make it a bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
We'll do bat mitzvah. We'll do
yeah.
that.
John, congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
Are you excited?
I'm stoked.
Right.
I'm really excited. I mean, it was just kind of really cool. I mean, and it's the first, one of the first things I've written. I mean, I've written stuff before, but it's been stuff that I'm going to do.
Right.
Where, you know, I've written solo monologues and pieces and showcase pieces and
right.
that sort of thing. So this is the first kind of real sort of this is for somebody else to deal with, you know. So I'm really excited to see how it works out. Be,
what a great, great time for you.
Yeah, so, yeah, we have to drive back, and I have to go to the reading Saturday night.
So is there a rehearsal before the reading? Or?
There was, but I was here, unfortunately. Oh, right. We had to be here, so... Mm.
So you should, and somebody directed that reading, that rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Did you talk to them?
No.
Oh, so this is going to be a real surprise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is going to be, I mean, I don't even know the actors.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It's totally blind. You don't know. All you know is what you wrote, right?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's something really exciting about that, I have to say.
Yeah.
Because, they didn't comment about.
Yeah.
I mean, it's. You know, it's all local actors and that kind of stuff. And so, I mean, I'll know them.
Right.
But I don't know specifically who's doing what and that sort of thing. So,
well, you know, there's something you have to trust about your work, right? You put it out there into the universe. Mm-hmm. You assume that the message is being carried in one, you know, fairly concretely in one direction or not. And look, if it's not, that's something really valuable for you.
I'll know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm looking for. Because, like I said, I've written stuff for me, but, you know, you write stuff for me. But you may not be able to get that idea clearly across on the paper, but you're writing it for you, so you know in your head, this is how this is going to work, and I'm going to shorthand this a little bit just to get it down on the paper, you know, so.
And oftentimes we're not actually conscious about what we're writing about. We think we're writing one thing, and then we see it and we go, isn't that interesting?
Right.
Did I really have a problem with my mother all those years? I didn't think I did, but clearly apparently. I do.
Which kind of going to be neat because they're going to have a talk back afterwards, and so audience questions, and they're going to have various people from some professional theaters around in Nashville to kind of respond, like you do, you know. So it's gonna be fun. I'm just going into it to have fun and see what happens.
Absolutely.
And see what I can learn. You know.
For the record, for everybody who's listening at home and later on, it is a beautiful, bright blue, sunny day
here in Lexington, Kentucky,
with Gary Garrison. So I just wanted to point that out.
Oh right.
That whatever that was was following you is
the
now
the sun is out and
gone.
The curse has been broken.
Apparently,
the Mayan curse has been gone.
Yeah. Wow, you're now single too. Did that happen?
Did that all happen at the same time?
I don't know.
You know, I had one of those situations where, you know, life changes. And are you both partnered relationships?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Married, both of us.
You know what?
Not to each other.
Please stay that way. You do not want to be. You ask anybody out there that's single. It is gruesome.
That's what I've
heard.
That's
the word. It's just brutal. Yeah. It's a battleground, boys.
Mm.
And I'm not so great on the battleground.
No, not tough anymore. You're not the.
You know, I'm 30.
I was going to say four. I was going to say 35. I was going to guess 34.
48.
Yeah, we can bleep this out. 50s, it's okay. Yeah, we'll bleep that out.
And you know, it's kind of, you know, you hear about this stuff, right? The older you get, the tougher it gets. Mm-hmm. It's actually true.
Wow.
John, write that play, would you please? Yeah.
Okay.
Salve my poor soul. Please make that your next project.
There it is.
Okay.
We'll do an audio play of it. We'll do an audio production.
Have you ever done an audio play?
No, I've wanted to really bad.
Come on, we should bring that back.
We really should. You know, for the first time this past year, though, my agent booked me on a couple of audiobooks. That's the first time I've ever done that.
Well, you got a great voice.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to get more of them. I've had a.
Well, let's. What was?
Well, they're nonfiction books. Let me clarify that.
It's not pornography.
No. Not, I haven't. I've been
thrust
asked to do that.
Purple-headed love warrior into a quivering mound of love pudding.
All of that. I'm gonna bleep.
Why?
All
that
of
wasn't
that.
Dirty.
No, that's right. You were talking about food.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's not foul language.
No,
like
Wendy
Bruce said, there are no dirty words, only dirty minds.
But there you go, baby. You know what I'm saying? Let me get street on y'all.
I did.
Drop some knowledge on us.
I did. So anyway, that's
fantastic.
My big thing. But I would love to bring back radio dramas and stuff like that, and write, you know, do the Foley work and everything, like, you know.
That'd be cool.
Love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, totally.
All right, boys. I have to go have coffee with somebody I don't know.
You have to go up just randomly.
Somebody downstairs. Hey, how
as
you
I
doing?
Told you, I'm single. What else do you want from me? I'm just going to choose anybody and say, "Have coffee with me, please." No, there's a guild member.
Okay.
Who's like, "I hear you're in town. Can I take you for a cup of coffee?" So you're never quite sure what's going to show up at the table.
That's right.
So this should be interesting.
Well, you had a little bit of coffee with us too. So,
right.
So.
This is about the ninth one.
This is coffee. Nice.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Oh, a quick question. Real quick question about the 10-minute play festival. Yeah. Have they been 10 minutes this year?
Do you know what? These were the best 10-minute plays I've seen in all my time at SATC.
Really?
Wow.
Absolutely.
They
were interesting.
Praise.
They were provocative. They were engaging. There was a dramatic arc to them. They were 10 minutes. Thank you very much. Somebody got the message to them.
Well, they've been listening to the show.
He's a really bitch about that. You know, don't let him embarrass you. Just make it 10 minutes. Just, you know, get that out of the way. So, you know what? They all were.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was great. I actually was really happy to sit in front of them and say, you did a good job, you guys. You really wrote something
nice,
engaging and compelling.
Well, that's because they listened to the show. We've been talking about it for the last, 2 years now?
Really? Right.
Yeah, and so this show on the podcast here is where they learn the lesson, you know, just by hearing it over and over again.
Right. And now, and now that John has written a 10-minute
Which he timed,
by example,
is 10 minutes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I want you to tell me how that goes.
Let
me know. I'm really curious how that goes.
I will. I'm excited, and I'll write you your single guy story.
Please do. Coffee with random people. Nice.
All right, you guys. Well, thank
awesome.
You very
thank
much.
You.
It's
thank
always
you.
A pleasure.
Always.
Bye. I love me some inexplicable dumb shows.
Awesome.
Actors, you want to set up a website that's not just a MySpace account?
Yeah, use your name as your domain name.
Check out DreamHost. It's easy to set up.
And because you're a listener of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, you get a special treat.
That's right. Go to www.dreamhost.com and enter this special code, IDS, all capitals.
You will receive 2 domain names with your web hosting package purchased from DreamHost.
But only if you use the promo code IDS.
And remember to use all caps on that. Just another way you get buzzed by the Inexplicable Dumb Show.
So we have Dale Savage with us. And
yes,
you're from North Greenville University.
North Greenville University.
As I read your name tag.
Right.
Now, I have... first of all, tell us the workshop that you're giving on Asperger's. That's the thing that's fascinated me.
Right. Tomorrow. Yes. I was asked several months ago to do some research on possibility of applied theater and social development of adults with Asperger's.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of programming available for children who have pervasive developmental disorders, autism spectrum disorders.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot for adults. And Asperger's is on the high end of the spectrum. So they were interested in whether there might be some potential here. And so one of the things I told them I would do is make presentations at conferences.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly to see who shows up what they know and what they've done.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm doing a lot of internet research, a lot of book research, but there's a lot of people that I haven't met that I know are in this field, and I'm hoping they come.
Yeah, well, there you go. I have full disclosure here. I have a personal reason for when I saw your workshop. My 5-year-old son was this past year diagnosed with PDD-NOS, and they said they basically said that he doesn't technically have Asperger's, but he has every single one of the symptoms except for the one he had speech delay, which knocked him right out of the Asperger's category. Uh-huh. But other than that, he's basically Asperger's syndrome.
Yeah.
So when I saw that, I was just like, okay, I want to.
Oh, sure.
You know, like a sponge. So you're gearing it more towards adults. I honestly did not know that there was a lot of therapy type of stuff like that in terms of theatrical therapy, if you want to call it that, for children. I'm going to have to look into that now. That's great.
There is. For example, in our city, South Carolina Children's Theater, which has a full year of programming, you know, productions, classes, workshops, you name it. They have a week-long summer camp for children with Asperger's.
Really?
Right there in my city. I didn't know that until they found that I was doing this project. And then they said, hey, do you know we have this thing going on? And I don't know if you're aware of the DSM, the diagnostic and something manual that the psychiatrists use.
Sure.
There's a new one coming out.
Oh, yeah, and they've basically said that they're not calling it Asperger's anymore.
Not going to call it that anymore.
It's now high-functioning autism, or it's all autism?
It's all autism. It's all on the spectrum.
Right.
It's just where do you fall on the spectrum.
Right.
And I think maybe the disadvantage I'm hearing from the people in the field is that some funding may go away because there's funding associated with that.
With Asperger's.
Specifically with that name. But the good news is that it's all considered on the spectrum now.
Right.
And so it's not a matter of let's debate whether your son has all the symptoms or not enough symptoms or whatever. No. He's got symptoms. That puts him on the spectrum. How can we help people on the spectrum?
Right. And that's the one thing. Well, of course, we're in proximity to Vanderbilt, and so his diagnosis came from the Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt.
Sure.
And they were fantastic, and they spent a lot of time explaining that to us. You know, yeah. In terms of, because I mean, we got a crash course in it. You know, I mean, literally from.
Oh, I'm sure.
And still don't know half of everything that we need to know.
Hmm.
But it's interesting. It's having to relearn how he sees the world. You know, it's fascinating. Well, what is your background? Are you more a theatrical background?
Yes.
Are you more a psychology background?
No, not a psychology background. I have a theatrical background, and I work at a faith-based school, mm-hmm. and I wrote a book that on the collision sometimes of theater and theology.
Mm-hmm.
And so the person that read the book, this mm-hmm. person in Texas read the book, and they have an adult son, 45-year-old son mm-hmm. with Asperger's.
Mm-hmm.
And she has taken him to some classes, some acting classes, mm-hmm. and Scott just loves it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just like he really enjoys playing other people's parts.
Sure.
It gets him out of his little bubble that he's in a lot of times. And that's when she realized, wow, there may be potential here. She read the book and said, well, are you somebody who could look into this for me? Because she's interested in having not just the social communicative dimension, but the spiritual dimension, which is not addressed really at all.
Right, right.
Anybody. And I have seen the connection between theater and spirituality, and right. theater and religion, and theater and ritual, and all of that.
Sure.
So, you know, there are people who are working with theater and developmental disorders,
uh-huh.
people working with theater and religion and theology,
uh-huh.
but then that connection
no
of all those...
Ground,
no bridge.
Yeah.
That's a really tiny niche. And nobody's in that niche right now that I can figure out.
Well, somebody's got to blaze the trail, right?
I guess.
So you're going to these workshops and these conferences to get in contact with people. That,
mm-hmm.
So if one of our listeners is listening to this mm-hmm. later on, do you have contact information you'd like to share? Is
yes.
there an email address?
Yeah,
or
they
phone
could
number?
Email me through the university where I teach. And it's North Greenville University. If they click on the theater department, they'll see all my information there and they can get in touch with me.
Would you be okay if we linked to your email address from our
sure.
website as well?
Sure.
Okay,
that'd be fine. That'd
definitely
be fine.
Do that.
Yeah, and I'm going to workshops, National Drama Therapy workshops and autism conferences, which may not have any theater involved in them,
sure.
but I'm going to make contacts and also learn as much as I can.
Awesome. I just on a personal level, I would like to stay in contact with you,
sure.
find out exactly
sure.
you know how your work is going, and
sure.
and have you back on the show just as a telephone interview whenever we can. And,
absolutely.
And talk about this because it's a buddy of mine and I were talking about this last night over dinner. He said that it's the number of people. And especially true in boys, the ratio of
oh, yes.
people who are now diagnosed with autism is unbelievably
it's
high.
It's increased dramatically.
Yeah.
And I think some of that may be just people's sensitivity about diagnoses.
Sure.
They're saying, hey, something's going on here.
Right.
Let me go get help. Whereas right. in the past, they might have just said, this is just a slow learner.
Right.
Right.
You know, he just doesn't communicate well.
Sure.
Or his motor skills aren't as good as other kids. And
right.
so he goes through life not getting any kind of a
right.
attention that he needs.
Yeah. It's fascinating, you know, because we've got an older daughter who could not have had a more normal pregnancy and you know
yeah.
growing up in terms of the same age and development, and then my son comes along 2 years after and all sorts of problems with the pregnancy, but then all of a sudden, you know, his slow to develop speech and he's communicating with his own made up sign language and you know and everything
yeah.
so. But it's amazing just by getting the correct therapy that the leaps and bounds that he has made just in being able to talk and communicate over the past years is
and 50 years ago,
yeah.
no one would have made that available to your family.
No.
It just wasn't considered.
It's
you know?
Very true. It's very true. And I'm thankful that we have that, you know, have that access. But anyway, it's important work, especially from a personal level. It's important work.
Yeah.
And thank you for doing it.
And another thing I think this family is concerned with, and that's going to be a big part of the project, is, mm-hmm. you know, the term neurotypical.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
People who aren't on the spectrum,
sure.
they're not normal, they're just typical,
mm-hmm.
is making sure they're aware of the fact that people on the spectrum aren't broken.
Right.
They
right.
don't have a disease. They don't
correct.
Need to be cured.
Right.
They have a different way. They're wired differently,
right.
and so they experience the world differently. And part of it is them learning how to adjust to the way the typical world works.
Right.
But part of it also is adjusting the typical world to
work with them.
Right.
People on the
right.
spectrum. Yeah.
Right.
And
yeah.
saying, wow, you're obsessed with mathematics. Great. Here's something you can do with your life. And
right.
That other people You know Temple Grandin, the story of Temple Grandin?
I don't actually know.
It's just an HBO documentary on her life that Claire Danes played her on.
This is the thing. This is the one that this David was talking about this last night at dinner. He's like, I can't remember her name to save my
Temple
life.
Temple Grandin.
There
Temple
it is.
Temple Grandin.
She has a PhD in like animal husbandry or something like that.
Yeah, that's the same one. No, I've got to look that up now. I've got to find that.
Fascinating life story.
I've got to find that.
And the brilliant thing she's been able to do, partly because of the way she sees the world as a person with autism.
Oh, no. I've got to watch that.
You've got to watch it.
I do.
And Autism the Musical?
No, really?
Oh, yes.
That's great.
There's an HBO documentary called Autism the Musical.
Yeah.
I've got to find that.
A teacher in, I can't remember, was it New Jersey maybe? Anyway, she does a summer, or did a summer camp. She has a son with autism.
Uh-huh.
Does a summer camp, pulls all these kids. One has Asperger's, and the other kids have varying degrees of autism. Puts a musical on with them. Oh,
I've got to find that too.
It's just so rewarding to watch that experience.
What is your ultimate outcome here? What are you working on? Are you working on a book on this topic?
No,
is this just research?
Books. There's so many books. Who reads books? No, I think what I mean. I'm a theater person, so I'd like it to actually happen. I'd like it to something to happen. So, the project, the first phase of this project, which has been funded, goes through September. And we've developed a website, which eventually I'll be able to give you. Right now it has a lot of Latin text.
Right, okay. Right.
You know, that filler text they put on it?
Yeah.
Right.
On the template. So once that's up and running, I can let you guys know about that.
Right, please do.
Yes,
and that's
definitely.
Where we will update it. We'll keep it updated, and as we discover new groups and new organizations and ideas, we'll put it on there.
Excellent.
Then the goal would be then next spring is to have a symposium at our school, which we'll fund. And we'll have some experts in the field come to the university and talk about and do a whole weekend of exercises and sociodrama, psychodrama, drama therapy.
Oh, wow.
Actually begin to put some of this into practice. There are people doing this.
Yeah.
I'm not oblivious to the fact that that's been done. And I want to get them together and learn from them. And then either set up a center or a study center or an experiential center where people can come and experience the benefits of drama therapy or publish something that people can do in different locations. I don't know exactly how that'll pan out.
That's fantastic.
And I'm open to whatever.
Well, and again, thank you for, again, personal level, thank you for doing the work. That's outstanding.
Sure.
All right. Yeah, I'm glad you guys are here at SETC.
Sure. Well, thanks.
Glad to get the word out.
Yeah, right.
Get the word out. Absolutely.
Enjoy the rest of your convention.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
If you love the Inexplicable Dumb Show like I do, don't be shy about it. Go ahead and wear your feelings on your sleeve, or at least your chest. Head on over to our Cafe Press store and wear your support for the IDS proudly. www.cafepress.com/dumbshow.
We would like to thank our good buddy Gary coming in and sitting with us, and our new friend Dale Savage doing some really great work. I'm anxious. I know you are, but I'm anxious.
Absolutely.
I'm anxious to see kind of how his research develops and what it might lead to. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I am as well. And it's always good to talk to Gary.
It's always a treat.
It's always a treat. Now, you're going to write his play, right?
I'm going to write Gary's Love Saga.
Yeah, Gary's Love Saga. Nice. I think that's be a touching tribute.
Yes.
You know, to for Gary.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll appreciate that, too. So
I hope.
Yeah, right. Let's see. For next week, I think we're going to do our Twitter episode, right?
Oh, that's right. We had a couple of Twitters.
Yeah. Tweeters. We'll go with tweeters.
Tweetarians.
And so, yeah, they're doing some really interesting stuff with...
And applying it to, applying it to actual theater production mid performance kind of deal,
Right.
Counterintuitive to what we might want to do with our phones during a performance.
Yeah, so we'll let them talk about it next week. So it'll be Scott Hayes and Donna Weber.
Yeah.
And that'll be next week for 184. Hey, we'll see you.
Bye.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.